point. Take the 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 point. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Take the Points podcast. Year five. We just had a long discussion whether it was year five or six. We don't even know. But apparently, my co-host Dan Partridge tells me it's year five. My name is Tom Zalesnak. I'm here with co-host Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett. Say hello, folks.
Hello, folks.
Hey, guys.
So we figured we would start with a little bit of an introduction to the show for anyone who happens to be a new listener. We are a college football podcast. We have a focus on gambling. So we talk a lot about the lines, bets, hedges, sides, all that good stuff. Of course, we do analyze the teams and the games, just like any other show. But a lot of gambling talk on this. Dan Partridge is our Vegas outsider line expert. Ryan Spillett, a.k.a. the coach, provides our inspirational message and viewpoint of a former or current coach. Are you back in the game, Ryan?
Former, retired. I'm just breaking down film for you now.
So guys, tell me about your off season. We haven't talked in a while. We're not one of those smart shows that records in the off season and gives fans something they want all year long. We leave them wanting more.
No, we opted not to do an off-season podcast because there was no college football in the off-season. And that's just a waste of everybody's time, including ours. Now, things are good. I don't know. I got a new job, sort of. Work in the same place, but do something different. Really enjoy it. Just got back from kind of like the Utah-Arizona border off for a couple days. That was fun. In the mountains and the canyons, so life's good. Excited for college football. We're taping this Wednesday. I'm doing all my errands today on vacation because tomorrow night Oklahoma State's on. So I'm excited, ready to go. Feeling pretty good.
Ryan, what have you been up to over the last few months?
Oh man, same thing pretty much. Just trying to beat the heat out here in the desert. New job as well pretty recently, about a month ago. But same profession, different place, that's all. But yeah, things are good. Excited for the season.
What we're going to do is we're going to start with our abridged season preview. The games start tomorrow, so there's no reason to get too deep into this, but we'll go through conference by conference and just give quick picks and what we're looking forward to and how we see things shaking out. So we'll start with the SEC, and we'll start with Dan. What do you think is going to happen there? It's hard to go against Alabama these days.
Yes, it's very hard to go against Alabama under Nick Saban. This will be year 10 where they've been ranked number one in the country in a row at some point in the season, which is truly hats off and remarkable to consider, you know, no one plays more than 4 years there. But realistically, it's more usually one or two starting-wise. Anyways, obviously, it's the same old story in the SEC. All the talent's on one side. All the question marks are on the other. Have to like Alabama. They're going to be hungry. They got Hurts back. They got Scarborough back. They got Calvin Ridley back. They got Nick Saban and a bunch of amazing defenders like they always do. They're going to be the best team in the country again. It's just Alabama. They're a machine. Outside of that, though, very interesting. Auburn will be really fun to watch. They actually have a quarterback for the first time since Cam Newton and former Baylor transfer Jared Stidham. If he can stay healthy, maybe they'll actually put some points on the board. He's only played, you know, maybe two or three games before he had that neck injury. So obviously health's going to be the biggest concern there. But obviously look for Alabama to win. A lot of, you know, college football experts are picking Auburn to be a sneaky national title pick, which we would all love to see. So I don't know, keep an eye on them. I'm not quite as high on them as everyone else, but we'll see. On the other side, same old story. It's a complete mess. We need someone to score points. Can Florida actually score points? If they had a stud quarterback, they could win a national title because they're probably going to walk into the SEC title game like they always do. But, yeah, look for Alabama and Florida to meet in, you know, the new Atlanta Stadium, which looks amazing, the Mercedes-Benz whatever, super sphere. And Yeah, if Florida can actually score some points, maybe they can win a close game, 17-13, and make the actual playoffs. So they have a sneaky easy way to make it into the playoff at I think like 55-1 to win it all. So that might be a little long shot bet, but still, Alabama is the king until someone beats them a couple years in a row, and that isn't looking likely. So roll tide, roll, 2017.
Dan, do you want to remind listeners or tell new listeners about the number one rule of the Take the Points podcast?
Yeah, it's real simple. Either put money on Alabama or do not put any money on the game at all. You can mess with overs and unders if you really like to get risky. But for the most part, it's either wager on Alabama or just avoid the game. Although we did read a stat the other day saying that Alabama unders at home under Saban are pretty crazy. I think it's like 22 to the over and 44 to the under through like 66 home games. So a lot of Bama unders at home. Hard for teams to come in there and feel confident and score points. And also Alabama usually has a giant lead and just runs the ball in the second half. So makes a lot of sense why there's a lot of unders. So keep an eye for home Bama unders this year. That's gonna be one thing I'm definitely gonna look out for.
Unders are fine. We fully support Alabama unders. Do not bet against Nick Saban. That's the rule.
Ever.
Succinctly, do not bet against Nick Saban, people. We've been doing this now for 5 years. I don't think we can say it enough times, though.
Yeah, just stop. Put it down.
Spill it. Anything to add about the SEC?
I am not quite as confident in Florida as Dan is.
You bastard.
I think with Florida having already double-digit players suspended for the first game, this is not exactly going to be something that's going to stop. I'm not sure McElwain has any control over that team whatsoever. But they're not as talented as Urban Meyer's crazies. So I'm actually going to say everything that Dan said about Alabama was 100% true. Great. But I actually like Georgia on the other side of the bracket, a rickless Georgia who had a freshman quarterback coming back as a sophomore. I think that's pretty good. They have two stud veteran running backs, and they're getting a little bit older on the defensive side. So I like Georgia on that side of the bracket.
Dan left his seat during that speech. I thought he was just doing it for dramatic effect, but he has come back with a prop, Dan.
I can't
What do you have to
remember
say?
the 2017 Phil Steele College football preview, which I've combed this summer for fun. There's a couple of things I needed for the podcast. I'm back.
Oh, okay. I thought you were getting it for a specific thing related to Florida.
No.
Anyway, I'll add a few things. Nobody touched on LSU really, so LSU now has two of the best coordinators in all of college football with Dave Aranda and Matt Canada. If Matt Canada can get that offense clicking, we're going to see an LSU that we haven't seen in at least a decade, one with an okay quarterback. I'm not calling Danny Etling great, but by the standards of LSU quarterbacking, he is a god, basically. I mean, he can actually complete passes. So there's a chance that they're going to be very good. I think their over-under win total for the season's 9.5. You know, that's about right for the Vegas number, but there's a chance they could be much better than that. And if they really get the offense going, they're as talented and deep as Alabama. Their problem has always been quarterbacking and to a lesser degree, coaching. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Auburn will be interesting with Stidham. I don't think that they're quite on an Alabama level, even if he's playing great. So Alabama's still always the pick. In the East, I think I agree with Spill It. Florida should be great. Well, I agree with both of you. Dan is right if Florida plays to their potential, but am I going to bet on that? I don't know. I do have a very controversial hot take about Georgia, and this is something if you've listened to the podcast for the last 5 years, you will not expect. I think we always said that Mark 9-3 Richt, ranked number 9 in the season in the Outback Bowl every single year since our birth. We always said that he was underachieving and that he would always blow the big game. I have a strange feeling that perhaps Mark Richt actually got the most out of that team, and now with another coach, We're looking at a 7-win team.
Ooh.
While meanwhile, Miami, Mark Richt, jumps up to his classic 9-3.
Ooh.
So
Phil Fulmer.
I am picking. Yes. The curse of Phil Fulmer lives on in Kirby Smart. That's my prediction.
Interesting.
I know that's a hot take, but
you could be onto something.
We'll see how it goes. So I'm picking Bama, Florida, undefeated Alabama, 2-loss Florida play in the SEC championship game. And I think Alabama cruises into the playoff there. We're going to do playoff picks in a minute, but let me just spoil one. All right, the Big Ten, arguably the best conference, or at least half of a conference in all football last year. Dan, what do you think?
Very interesting. Extremely loaded on one side, extremely weak on the other. We'll go with the weak side first. Again, if you got to pick someone, you might as well pick Wisconsin. They always seem to win at home. It's the same formula. You look up and they're always 9-2. They have a guy running for 1,700 yards. Plug it in. It doesn't matter who the head coach is. It's been going on since like the late 90s. Like literally they're the same team every year. So we'll go ahead and pick them on one side. And then we'll focus on the other. Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. Very complicated to pick and evaluate. A lot of returning players in this group outside of Michigan. Michigan lost a lot. I think it's a lot.
They return only four players.
That's absolutely crazy when you think about it, and probably too hard for them to overcome, even though they probably have Harbaugh's an excellent coach, I'll just say.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt again, but let me jump in. Like, they return four starters. Yeah. They have a lot of guys who played a lot of minutes, even though they weren't technically starters. It's not like they're just plugging in freshmen or guys who have just been bench warmers. They do have probably another five defenders alone that have played significant minutes. So it's not like they're starting from scratch.
Of course. Yeah. But you know, they are losing a lot of, there's a lot of new skill position players who will be playing major minutes. That's the first
part. Sure.
Ohio State, they return a ton of players, including JT Barrett. And I believe they're running back as well, and a lot of other players as well. And Urban Meyer's probably the number one coach in the conference, if not all of college football. As crazy and sickening as it makes me say that. But the number one team, I believe, will be the Penn State Nittany Lions, despite what your experts say. I think Penn State wins the Big Ten outright. I love Saquon Barkley. I think he's the real deal. I think he's the best running back Penn State's had in, I don't know, long time. They got the quarter.
No, Dan. Dan, we grew up watching Penn State, and I'm not going to let you get off that easy. I would like you to name exactly the last running back that was equal to him. Was it Kajana Carter?
Yeah,
was it Curtis Enos?
No.
Was it?
He is far better than Curtis Enos. He's way better than Larry Johnson was. He's the real deal. He's Kajana Carter, who people don't remember how unstoppable he really was. But anyway, Penn State's the best. They got the quarterback play. They have so much excitement because of how horrible their football culture was just a year or two ago. They have more motivation than anybody. I don't know if JT Barrett's the real deal at Ohio State. I was at that Ohio State Clemson game in January, and Ohio State looked horrible. And if that team played Penn State, in like January, Penn State would have beaten by 3 or 4 touchdowns, honestly. So I really love Penn State this year. As much as I've signed off on them as a fan, the curse has come back around where they're an elite team, and I do not get to root for them. I'm not allowed to jump on now. So hats off to Penn State. I think they're going to win the Big Ten.
Ryan, you are also a Penn State fan, or at least you were at one point. So all of us are or were Penn State fans in our youth. Dan jumped off, perhaps wisely, during the scandal.
Well,
I stayed around.
Way before the scandal. Let's get that straight. Like 2005. Okay, move on. Sorry, I got a little angry there.
All right, go ahead. Anyway, Ryan, what's your current status with Penn State fandom?
When I made the move to the West Coast. I took all of my Penn State paraphernalia and left it at the rescue mission in Fairmount. So,
that's that.
And I actually do not disagree with Dan. I have Ohio State on that side of the bracket and then Wisconsin on the other side. I like Wisconsin a lot this year. Their schedule's pretty soft. They do get Michigan, I think, the second to last game of the year for them. So that's that's going to be huge. Michigan having to play Wisconsin, Ohio State back to back to end the year. That's going to be pretty tough for them. But, you know, like Dan said, they have a ton of young guys. And by that point in the year, they're going to have plenty of minutes under their belt. They're going to be a lot better as the year goes on. But I do think it's going to be Wisconsin, Ohio State in the Big Ten title.
So the Big Ten is kind of my area of expertise, I guess you would say, out of all the conferences.
Love it.
Wisconsin is the pick in the West. I mean, you have to go with them. They have – you undersold it, Spillett. They have a very, very soft schedule, one of the softest of any team with a chance at competing for the playoff. There's a very good chance they could win 11 games, possibly even go undefeated. They play Michigan the second to last week, and I believe that game is at Camp Randall. So they're going to be favored in 11 games. We'll see what happens with Michigan, what point Michigan is at that point of the season. You're right. You want to play Michigan early in the year. You don't want to play them at the end of the year. So even if they lose that, they should win the West easily. I have another bold prediction for the East. So last year you had a sort of a three-way win-loss thing where Penn State edged out Ohio State, Ohio State edged out Michigan, and then Michigan kind of beat down Penn State. So everybody won one. I think the same thing will happen this year, but I think it will be exactly the opposite. I think the circle will reverse. So Penn State has to go to Ohio State. Ohio State will have revenge on their mind. I think Ohio State comes away with that game. Penn State also has Michigan, then Ohio State back-to-back. So that's going to be a real tough one for Penn State. So I think they lose to Ohio State. I think Michigan at the end of the year with revenge on their mind, we all know how that game ended last year. I think they squeak it out over Ohio State with hopefully a healthy Wilton Spate leading the charge. And then I think Penn State gets Michigan somewhat early in the year. I think Penn State squeaks through that one. So I think we're going to get a three-way tie in the East, and I have no idea how tiebreakers are going to work. And so that's my call. One of those teams is going to win a tiebreaker, and I don't know how it's going to work. I wouldn't even bother predicting that, but that team will play Wisconsin, and that game will basically be a toss-up, and then the winner of that game is going to probably be a one-loss playoff team. So let's move to the ACC. I'll go first because I don't have much to say. I pick Florida State. Clemson just lost too much, even though I still think they'll be competitive. Florida State has a lot of returning guys, and so that's my pick. Watch out for NC State, who I think is going to be a lot better, and I think NC State's going to beat one of the big boys, upset one of them this year.
Whoa!
That's my pick.
Whoa!
I don't know who, but I think they pull off one big upset. You know, Florida State, Clemson, Syracuse, one of the big ones. Dan, ACC.
Florida State's got a lot of talent. Take them to win one side, and I'm going to take a wild card on the other. I'll take former transfer number one incoming player in the country, Max Browning, at Pitt. I'll take Pitt to win the other side, but Florida State to win the conference.
Pitt. So, Dan, you have picked Penn State and Pitt.
Pitt.
I just have to check whether that's actually you or you've been possessed by the ghost of Beano Cook.
Pitt Panthers. Beano's alive.
Ryan, what do you think about the ACC?
Well, Florida State. Florida State on their side is solid. They're fine. They're going to kill everybody. Now, here's my problem. I don't actually, and this is going to be embarrassing, I don't know what the hell, what teams are on which side.
So you've got Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina State. The other side you have... I guess the contenders would be Pitt, Va-Tech,
Boston College, Maryland.
Okay. Where's Louisville?
Maryland's Big Ten, but I think you got Georgia Tech.
Is Louisville on the same side as Florida State?
Play in both conferences.
So Louisville's on the side with Florida State and Clemson. So all of the big teams are on that.
That's okay then. Never mind. Coastal. So then I'm going to go with Florida State against Va Tech. Really like Va Tech's quarterback, redshirt freshman, second year with Justin Fuente, who I think is an awesome coach. He made Paxton Lynch a first round pick, and he's a total bust. And this kid is much better. He's smaller. He's a dual threat guy, about 6'1", 215 or so, 220. So he's pretty put together. I like Va Tech.
Okay, that's a good pick. I think they're probably the presumptive favorite in the Atlantic Division. So let's move along from there. The Big 12. Who wants to take this one?
I'll take it. I love the Big 12. The Big 12 is a total clusterfuck. Oklahoma has all the tools and all the talent to get it done. Their coach mysteriously left before the season. Mr. Stoops is gone. Congratulations, Ryan.
Take the points favorite, Bob Stoops. Yeah. Big game, Bob.
Very strange. I seem like a healthy guy, really involved, just disappears. I'm waiting for the allegations to come out around October once the season starts. Something's up there. I don't buy it. Okay, moving on.
On the bright side, Dan, they have a new coach who is younger than us.
I know. I was about to say that. Unbelievable. Where the hell did we go wrong? Okay, moving on. I'm going to save Oklahoma State for last. Texas Tech's going to score a trillion points. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Their defense projects to be worse, which is incredible. If you think about
it. How's that possible?
The players who they had last year aren't there. Like, their leading guys who actually made plays and tackles left, and the bad ones are still there. I don't know, but I've read some things that says their defense is going to be worse. So that's saying something. I want to talk a little bit about our UT Horns. I'll be paying close attention to the Horns this year. They got a great coach. They have the culture. They got the stadium. They have the history. Look out for the Horns. I mean, things are up and coming. You know, they've had a couple crappy years here. The Chaz Strong era did not pan out. But keep in mind, I mean, they were in a national championship game not that long ago against Alabama. It wasn't like, you know, 25 years ago. I mean, it was only like eight or nine.
It was 2010, I believe, the 2009 season, 2010
yep,
championship
correct.
Game.
Correct.
8 years ago. So, I mean, no big deal.
Texas. And they could have won that, but their quarterback went down.
Correct. So, you know, watch out for UT. They have a lot of stuff that is going for them outside of just, you know, X's and O's on the field. They got a new, I think they got a new locker room. Is that right, Ryan, we saw?
Oh, those new facilities are phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, a lot of stuff like that. But more, I want
to Dan, can I just say, you guys are coming into this season with a lot of inside info. You went to a playoff game. You got tours of the Texas facilities. It's almost like you're actual real professionals.
We've entered the career portion of our lives where, like, anything to read outside of, like, work stuff is very important to me. Like, I love coming home from work and just, like, reading college football nonsense for a half hour or an hour just to chill out. But anyway, Big 12, Oklahoma State this year. They're going to be probably my favorite team to watch and wager on, I hope, at least initially. They have all the tools. Mason Rudolph at quarterback's the real deal. James Washington is also the real deal at wide receiver. They got two other unbelievable wide receivers. There's a potential that numbers 1, 2, and 3 wide receivers who they have all go to the NFL over next year or the year after, which is pretty crazy. And they got the real deal quarterback and the head coach and the offensive line. And they're ready to go. So I like Oklahoma to play Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game if they have one. I don't know how it works. I think they have.
They do.
Okay, great. Oklahoma State to win. Oklahoma State to win the Big 12. Yeah.
Ryan?
I agree with all of that. One thing that was not mentioned in the brief Big Game Bob Poops eulogy was that his brother, who's a much worse coach, is still there. Oh, yeah, still the defensive coordinator. That's not good. So I don't like Oklahoma too much. The only problem, though, is, like Dan said, the Big 12 title game. There's no divisions. It's just one versus two are going to play. So if Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State the last game of the season, they're going to turn around and play each other again the next week. More than likely, so, they're going to play each other back to back.
So Dan's got the Phil Steele book there, but I believe they've moved that game up, haven't they?
Yeah, they changed it because of that.
Because anticipating a rematch, they moved the first game up so that they wouldn't play in back-to-back weeks. So unlike every other year, they're not playing at the end of the season.
This year they play the first Saturday in November, and there's still three more. Like Oklahoma State plays home against Oklahoma, then at Iowa State, home against Kansas State, home against Kansas. So they still got three more games after that. But yeah, they change it because of that.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Super smart move by the Big 12. Very that smart. And having a conference championship game, that's whoever's running the Big 12 finally did a great job this season.
Yes.
Smart.
And one point I need to make, all the Texas stuff, Dan, is great. Love it. I'm on board. Any listeners of the show know I am like the biggest Tom Herman guy. One thing about Tom Herman real quick, dating back to when he became offensive coordinator at Ohio State, through all his time there and then all his time at Houston, he was an underdog 11 times. What is his record in those 11 games?
11-0.
He has never lost a game as a coordinator or head coach as the underdog. So that's going to be fun to watch this year. The only other thing I want to say about the Big 12, Trill. He's back. The 24-year-old Kenny Trill is back at TCU for one more year. I love it.
So
it's the
this
best.
Is a great this is a great great year for really old quarterbacks.
Oh yes.
Which we will get to the oldest of all of them in a little bit.
Yes, we will.
So I think if you're tiering the Big 12, you have Oklahoma in their own tier at the top. They're the only team that's sort of a known entity going into the season with a lot of star power and a young coach who at least was part of the system who can continue their success, hopefully. I think Oklahoma State and Texas are right below them as I would call it the wild card tier. Tom Herman, normally a coach in their first year, you say, all right, they need a year or two. But after seeing what Tom Herman has done throughout his career, I don't think he fits the normal mode, and I wouldn't assign that to him. Like, I don't think it matters. He's a freak of nature, and he could compete right away. Or maybe he'll be normal at Texas, and, you know, with a school that big, it will take him 2 or 3 years to be national championship caliber. But we all think they're going to be a playoff caliber team within 3 years, right? Yep. I think we're pretty much on board with that.
Oh, yeah, within two.
Oklahoma State. Dan covered it, so I won't rehash that. A lot of pretty good teams in the Big 12 to watch out for. Kansas State and West Virginia are the two that really jump to mind. Maybe TCU as well. Mm-hmm. They could beat anyone on any given week. I don't think they'll be consistent enough. I'm not as big of a Kenny Trill supporter as you, maybe, Ryan, but I definitely think you got to watch out for him. And then Baylor is just going to be horrible, I think.
Yep.
Which is a shame because we loved Baylor in previous years before last year. So that's too bad.
It's a good run. Good run.
So I don't think we mentioned this today, but for anyone new listening, I'm here in the East Coast, Connecticut. Dan and Ryan are out in Arizona, so they're in Pac-12 country. And so I'm going to hand the Pac-12 over to them. I have no thoughts. Dan, what do you got?
All right. USC. You know, they got the quarterback, they got the kid, they're coming off the Rose Bowl win, scoring 45 points. You know, outside of the first month of the season last year, they looked to be probably the number two team in the country outside of Alabama. You know, or sorry, probably number three outside of Alabama and Clemson. And they played an outstanding Penn State team and played a classic Rose Bowl game. If you haven't saw a replay on ESPNU, they play it like every 3 days. Take 2 hours and watch that. You'll have a great time. So USC's great. I expect them to win the conference. On the other side, it's a complete mess. People all talk about Washington, how much talent they have, and yada, yada, yada. And they did really play excellent last year. They played a pretty good game against Alabama in the playoff. It wasn't horrible. But something about losing there to them, I think, is going to kill them. I believe Nick Saban took their soul. We've seen this before. I think they fall off. I'm going to take a surprise pick to win the other side. I'm going to take Oregon. It's funny, of all the teams in college football this offseason mentioned on Twitter or anything like that, the most positive stories have come out of Oregon this year of any place. It's crazy. All these good feel-good stories and people like really into the new system. And they have a ton of talent. They still got, Royce Freeman, running back. They got a lot of good wide receivers. They kicked off all the trash. The fucking Carringtons are gone and shit like that. So, Oregon, like a hard-nosed Oregon, cold weather type, gonna win 27-17, type team, I think it can win. So I'm really, really interested to watch Oregon this year, and I'm excited that they got rid of Helfrich, which he might go down as the worst coach I've ever seen. Like, it's honestly possible. I don't think he did anything good. He was handed a complete, I mean, everything, and just threw it into the fucking lake. I mean, he was bad. So anyway, don't want to ramble about Mark Helfrich. Don't want to waste anybody's time. But
We're moving on, Dan. It's 2017. We're moving on.
USC.
Taggart. Taggart is, people love him.
Yeah.
And he was a great coach at South Florida, so I'm looking forward to it.
Love this guy, apparently.
Ryan, what do you got? And I would like to hear about your two hometown Arizona teams.
Oh,
Oh,
God.
that's coming later. Don't worry about that. I got some things to say. So, the Pac-12. Yes, USC, great. That side of the bracket is pretty much set up. He's going to spank Rosen. It's going to be hilarious. Great.
Yeah.
Now, getting to the other side of that conference, I got some thoughts. So we spoke earlier about how ridiculously good that Big Ten division is with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. Three teams that are all going to be ranked in the top 15. I think the Pac-12 North will have four teams in the top 20 consistently all year. I think Stanford is going to be the favorite in that side. I think
Ooh.
Washington is going to fall down a little, but they're still got super talent. Their quarterback's back. Pettis is back. I'm like the biggest Chris Peterson believer. Great. I think Oregon, Dan nailed everything. He's took everything I was going to say. I love Freeman. I think they're going to have a really, really good year. And my boy Leach
Take the points favorite,
is going
Mike
to
Leach.
win the Apple Cup.
Oh.
Oh, yes. And unfortunately, though, he will come up short against Stanford, and it will be Stanford USC in the Pac-12 final. But I like four teams in the Pac-12 North to be top 20 teams consistently all year.
Wow.
So I think it's fair then to say we are betting consistently against Oregon State.
They're
Correct.
horrible. They just got hammered by Colorado State in last
Doubled
week.
up. Doubled
Bad.
up.
You have like
Yeah.
50 something. They're brutally awful.
Dan, how about the Buffs, one of our favorite teams from last year?
The Buffs are a wild card. They appeared like they were put together with scotch tape and popsicle sticks last year, and it was all smoke and mirrors. It looks like they don't really have any talent on that team, and there was just some couple clever wins. We will see. Also, their quarterback who played last year is on Hard Knocks and looks like a complete idiot. So it doesn't bode well.
Yes. And
Well,
I
they
need.
got a their new guy is good. I mean, he's 6'5". He's talented, big
He's
arm.
not that idiot
Could.
on Hard Knocks, thank God.
I would also like to add that Utah, as always, will beat somebody big at home.
Always.
So
Always.
there be five teams in the top 20 from the north side of that bracket, because Utah is the hardest place to go and win on the road. At night, it's like, outside of the SEC, that place is the hardest place to win.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have thoughts on any non-Power 5 teams? We will get to them throughout the season, but I just want to, I don't want to go through everything today, but if you have specific thoughts, Ryan, seems like you've got something.
I have two teams to keep an eye on for entertainment and betting purposes. I think Boise's is back. I think Boise's back. I think Boise's going to start putting up some big numbers again, so keep an eye on them early. Vegas might not have adjusted to them, but I think they have a lot of talent. I think this is the year they go back to maybe even a one-loss team. And then the other one is South Florida. State of Florida is just killing it this year between, you know, FAU, FIU, all that. But look out for South Florida. Their quarterback's going to throw for 3,000 yards, and he's going to run for like 1,500. He's going to be super fun to bet overs on. So South Florida overs, that division, that conference blows. They're going to spank people, especially in that Florida sunshine.
All right. I haven't done my normal due diligence. Normally I have a hot take on the MAC, but we're going to have to watch for a week or two before I've successfully picked the MAC winner for like 8 years straight. I'm better at this than like investing in my 401k, like picking the Big Ten, which I actually watch. Like there's nothing I've been better at over the last decade than picking the MAC winner. So I will get back to you by late September on my choice. Dan, any smaller teams you're looking at?
Two. One, Notre Dame will be improved from last year. They're not going to be a power, but they have a lot of talent on that team, as much as their coach is a complete idiot. They'll win 8 or 9 games this year, maybe 10. The other one, come on, you two. There's only one team you two should really be watching this year. You forgot. It's Wyoming. Your future Buffalo Bills starting quarterback plays for the Wyoming Cowboys, I believe.
I already have a whole segment written out, Dan. It went 3.5 pages. I was going to save it.
Yeah, well,
there will be plenty of time for talking about future Buffalo Bills quarterbacks as the season goes on. They're going to have, if not the number one choice, they're going to have a high choice among many capable QBs.
There's only one choice. One choice. That's it.
So, playoff picks then.
Sure.
Dan, start it off.
Final four, Alabama 1 seed, 2, Penn State 3, USC 4, Oklahoma State.
Do you want to expand on that? Do you want to pick a winner, a championship
sure.
game?
Yeah, of course. Alabama is the 1 seed because they have a ton of talent. When you're number one quarterback, running back, and wide receiver back, and you've been the best team for 10 straight years, it's not good for everybody else. Two, I really love Penn State. I think they're like a freak team. I think they're going to like score a ton of points a lot and put 50 on people. Like first time in 23 years or something like that. USC, I think, will just kind of rock the West Coast. They have a lot of talent. And then I love Oklahoma State this year. I think they have the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the country. I think they have an amazing head coach. I think they know that Oklahoma is a little bit vulnerable because Stoops is gone, and they have a little bit of a transition year there. They have a great schedule, and I love Oklahoma State. I also have a wager on them to make the playoffs this year. That was the only future wager I made. And, yeah, national championship champion Alabama. Roll Tide.
Okay, so Dan, Ryan, you have the ACC getting left out of the playoff after winning it last year.
Correct.
So that's interesting.
Two lost Florida State left out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and have Alabama as my 1 seed. They are going to play a rematch with Florida State, the 4 seed. As my 2 seed, I have USC. And as my 3 seed, I have Oklahoma State. I have the Big Ten beating each other and getting left out because I have Wisconsin winning the Big Ten.
All right, so I haven't put much thought into this. I was preparing the lines and haven't thought much about the playoff. Alabama, my one seed, just as good as last year. Everybody back, pretty much. I don't see how they lose more than one game. I'll take USC out of the West. I think Sam Darnold's your best quarterback in college, and I like them to continue what they did in the Rose Bowl and have, you know, maybe a one-loss season and sneak in as like two or three seed. I think you got to get a Big Ten team in there. I'm very tempted to take Wisconsin, a one-loss Wisconsin, sneaking in, beating like a Michigan. As I said, I think there's going to be some weird cluster. I should say, I didn't mention this before, but as a Penn State fan, what scares me about Penn State is that so much of their offense was what they would call 50-50 balls, where McSorley just lobbed it up and hoped the receiver grabbed it. And the problem is, the one receiver who always made those plays is Godwin, who has now gone to the NFL, and they don't quite have a guy who can replace him. They've got some freshmen who might be big enough and might be able to do that, but their other receivers are a little bit smaller. And so I think we'll know by week two or three, you know, once they play Pitt, we'll know if they're really capable of throwing those deep balls against a pretty good team. So I think we'll have to wait and see, but I'm going to take, you know, I'm just going to go on a limb and I'm going to take Wisconsin as a four seed. It's a tough one, I know, but I think they pull some shit and get in there. I just can't pick Ohio State. You know how I operate. Well, even though Ohio State should be the pick, I just can't do it. My soul will not let me pick them.
I like it.
And then I guess I will take, you know, I just don't see somebody coming out of the Big 12 this year. I just think they're too down. So I'm going to go with, Dan doesn't like that. You know what? I've not prepared for this, so I'm just making shit up.
Go to the state.
I got nothing. Alabama, USC. Yeah, I don't like the ACC, so I guess I got to pick. I'm going to go Oklahoma just to make you mad.
Thank you.
And then I am going to go with, you know, Ohio State always weasels their way in there. I'm going to go with Michigan.
Ooh.
Going out on a limb. Michigan.
Interesting. This will be good to follow up on at the end of the year. All right, Heisman Trophy.
All right, so Heisman, you got Sam Darnold 9-2 as your favorite. JT Barrett, Lamar Jackson, both 10-1. Mayfield 12-1, and then at 15-1, you got Jalen Hurts, Stidham, and Saquon Barkley. Longer shots, Darius Geis at 20-1, Scarborough at 22-1, Nick Chubb 28-1, Josh Rosen 28-1, Trace McSorley 35-1. I wrote down a few real long shots who might be worth throwing a buck on, but of those guys who seem to be at the top of the pack, what do you guys think?
I made one bet. Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State quarterback.
I actually completely agree. Mason Rudolph winning the Heisman. However, I'd like to say I did also write down my top three finalists. I have Mason Rudolph. I have Darnold. And I have Royce Freeman. Shocker. There it is.
I like that.
Okay. So if I'm going to take a mid semi-long shot, I'm going with Darius Geis of LSU to just roll over people in that Matt Canada offense, put up huge yards. As a college back, he's just as good as Fournette. I know he won't be the same pro prospect, but just in the college game, I like him just as much.
That's a huge FU to Fournette if they give Geis the Heisman the year after he leaves. Kind of like T. Martin with Peyton Manning.
You know, the problem is Fournette just didn't last year just didn't get enough carries and stay healthy.
Right.
And then the year before, he was just a freak. But I forget what happened that year.
He was a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – who won 2 years ago? I can't even remember.
Derrick Henry.
Okay, so, you know, he was a freak, but he just happened to be in the same conference as another freak whose team beat him, and he was shut down in the Alabama game against Henry, whereas Henry did well. So,
right.
You can, when you break it down, you can see why he didn't win, but you know, he was good. Saquon Barkley might be a good pick at 15 to 1 as well.
Yeah.
The only problem is, much like the aforementioned Kejana Carter and Kerry Collins, I think they're going to split votes, him and Trace McSorley. So we'll see. We're going to get into the lines in just a moment, but Dan, before we do, is there anything you're just going to be watching aside from specific teams? Are there any storylines or things you'll be watching in terms of betting trends?
One thing I'll definitely look for is overs early with a couple teams. Seems like every year there's a couple teams we highlight that just they come out in September and go 4-0 to the over, like not even close. Last year it was Texas Tech and Arizona State. I told everyone this is going over. I don't care what it is, and I believe there was 27 points scored. So yeah, I'm you Oklahoma State. I'm looking at you Texas Tech again. I'm looking for South Florida possibly. You know, I don't know. It's going to be someone week one who puts up a huge number on someone, you know, average to mediocre, and you're going to say, is it just, you know, a competition thing, or are they have a freak offense? So hopefully we can figure this out through 2 weeks. So anyway, yeah, first overs early. Two, I told you Alabama unders at home. Three, I'll be looking to see. I don't know. I think those are my first two. I think that's where I'll start. What do you guys think?
Ryan, do you have anything?
I mean, I already kind of threw the Boise, South Florida out there. I got a couple. I think Rich Rod and Mark D'Antonio are both going to get fired this year.
Oh.
I don't know if
Ooh.
either of them makes it through the year.
When we gasp, to be clear, that's about D'Antonio. Nobody is surprised that Rich Rod is on the hot seat.
Correct. I really want to keep an eye on West Virginia this year. They do have the former Florida quarterback, Will Grier, is now eligible and playing for them. So that could be a really surprise team in the Big 12. And just in general, their overs could be really fun. And then our boy, who has not been brought up yet, Lane Kiffin overs. Come on, folks. Just get on board.
Well, we'll get to Mr. Kiffin when we get to the lines. He's going to be our human to watch in 2017.
Good point.
So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll power through all of the lines. And then we have a special brand new segment that I think people are going to like. So we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is the Take the Points College Football Podcast. I am Tom here with Dan and Ryan, and we're going to start with the big games of the week. I offer a disclaimer that in week one, having not seen anybody, it's exceptionally hard to gamble and pick lines. So I would advise caution when listening to us or when gambling. Dan does not agree with this assertion.
That sounds very conservative to me, and I've had enough. All right, look, we're all 36 or 35. Ryan will be 36 here in a couple of days. We've been too conservative. We got people younger than us doing way better. We got people copying our fucking podcast on ESPN. We got articles
Lincoln
on
Riley's coaching? It should be
Twitter.
us.
We got articles on Twitter stealing Ryan's catchphrases, calling Matt McGloin, Matt my groin yesterday, which Tom, I'll send you the text. I sent it to Ryan last night and he got quite mad. No more conservative stuff from Take the Points. We're gonna press it this year.
Okay.
All the way. So week one, we're going hard. We got locks, we got traps. Let's fucking do this. Let's go.
All right. Let's come up with some new ideas for people to steal. So we're starting with the big games. We're starting with the second biggest game of the week. Michigan versus Florida, Saturday, 3:30 p.m., AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Michigan Wolverines -4, over under was 45 when I wrote it down, but has since dropped to 44.5. By the time you hear this podcast, it's going to be like 12. Mm-hmm. Anyway, again, I wrote some notes earlier today. I said that there will be three quarterbacks for Florida. Malik Zaire, the Notre Dame transfer. Luke Del Rio, the guy from last year who was not great. And Felipe Franks, the incoming quarterback with a lot of buzz. They have since decided that Felipe Franks will be the starter for this game. I don't know what that means. I expect that you're still going to see at least some Malik Zaire and possibly all three, but Franks is the starter. So that's good news for Florida. Florida also has suspended 8 players for this game and possibly another one since we started recording. So with all of that information, Vegas outsider Dan Partridge, what do you got to say?
I don't know. This is tough. This is neutral site. You got Florida with suspension issues, Michigan with a bunch of new players, giant stadium, 100,000 people, weird communication. This is going to be one of those games that has a very slow start to it, I feel. But the number will get pretty close to around 45, so I'm too scared to bet a total. I'll probably just take the points here with Florida and take the 5. But it's scary as hell. So, yeah, I'll take 5 with Florida.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on this game?
I am the complete opposite of Dan, actually, but the same. I think this is a really tough game. I actually feel the opposite. I don't want to touch either team, but I really love the under. I don't care if it keeps dropping. It doesn't matter. They're not going to score. I think this is going to be a super low 16-13 type of game, and I really like the under.
Okay, so I guess I'm sort of with both of you. I am a little bit afraid to take any of these lines, either the line or the point total, knowing almost nothing about Florida's starting quarterback and whether he'll even play most of the game. And Michigan is replacing so many starters that it's practically a brand new team. But with a coach like Harbaugh and his recruiting, I do expect them to be pretty good at some point this season, maybe even at some point in this game. You have to anticipate they get off to a slow start. So if I had to pick, I would take a slight under and I would take the points with Florida. I'm glad finally get to say that for the first time in 2017. Take the points. But I think Michigan wins the game by a field goal. That's my pick. And let's move along. Okay, so we're a little out of order. Usually we save the big game for the end, but we're going straight to the big game. Florida State versus Alabama. This game is at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, 8 o'clock p.m. All times are Eastern Standard Time because that's where I live, so fuck all the rest of you. Last I checked, Bama minus a touchdown and over-under of 49. One thing I just want to mention, a reporter asked Jalen Hurts if he was ready to play in a big game like this, which is a really bad question, but he had a great response. He said, "I played in the national championship game, so I guess so," which is a perfect response.
Hell yeah, it is.
Also worth noting, Alabama's last three games, counting this one, they played the number 4 team in the country, the number 2 team in the country, and now they play the number 3 team in the country. So quite a lineup. One thing we always say about Saban is that for a team so good and so highly ranked, he never mails it in early in the season. Nobody has less fear playing big teams than Nick Saban, and that's why he's the best and everybody else is a tier below him. So Ryan, why don't you start this one off?
It's pretty simple. Bama, there's a rule. The 7 doesn't scare me at all. It could be 9.5 and it would still be completely fine.
All right. Succinct. Perfect. I think that's all we need. Dan?
Yeah. First of all, hats off to college football. This is why it's so good. We're like 3 days away from watching this on Saturday night in that beautiful new stadium. Epic way to start Labor Day weekend. I mean, bravo college football. Bravo spreading out this college football weekend altogether. That being said, Nick Saban's a madman. He's got to be pissed. And they have so much experience, and I'm sure There's a ton of talent on Florida State. Everyone loves their new freshman quarterback and all that, or sophomore, yada yada. I think Alabama's going to hammer them. I love Alabama. Alabama minus a touchdown, lock of the week.
All right, I guess that leaves it to me. So before I start with this pick, I just want to tease something later. We have a Take the Point Spotify playlist, and Dan says he's going to present a track of the week each week. And
Multiple.
so we had a lot of songs on there from last year. I've cleared the playlist for Dan. I did, however, leave one song on the playlist that will be a holdover from last year. Anyway, on to the game. Let's talk about Florida State. Alabama is number one. They're always highly ranked. They're the dynasty. They're the team to beat. There aren't many teams in college football that have the kind of history and talent and recruiting base and depth and coaching and fan base that Alabama has, but Florida State is one of the few that actually has all of that. Nobody's quite as good a coach as Nick Saban, but Jimbo Fisher is, pretty close in the ballpark. And in terms of everything else, they're just as good. They have so much talent coming back this year at every position. They have a pretty good quarterback who is good as a freshman and should be much better as a sophomore. I think freshman to sophomore year is traditionally where, especially at the quarterback, that's where they make the biggest leap. So look for Francois to hopefully make that leap and be a lot better. They have potentially the best linebacker and maybe the best defensive player in the country, and Derwin James. Quick aside, so all the Heisman picks that we named before, the one defensive guy is Derwin James. You can wager on him. I think it's like, I don't know, 45-1 odds, or it's some long odds, but you are throwing your money away if you bet on him to win the Heisman. Not only do defensive players not win the Heisman unless they return kicks or do something to score touchdowns, but a linebacker is just never going to be in the discussion. So even if he's the best linebacker in the country and it's a down year for all offense, that's a waste of money. So please, everybody, do not do that. But they're just loaded. I mean, they're so good at secondary, at linebacker, on the lines. They've got skill positions. They've got the quarterback. They should be able to hang with anybody in the country. Here's the thing about that, Dan.
That's track one, always.
This is one track one, and this will never change. Do not bet against Nick Saban. Nobody beats Alabama. Last year, USC was the second best team in the country at the end of the year. Guess what? Alabama beat them 52-6 in week one. A few years ago, Michigan was a pretty damn good team, and guess what? Alabama steamrolled them in week one. I remember as a Penn State fan, 2010, Penn State had hot quarterback Rob Bolden, who was supposed to be a superstar. Oh, Penn State was supposed to be so good. Unfortunately, they scheduled Nick Saban in Alabama week two. They only lost by like 14, but it was not close. They got rolled over. You do not schedule Alabama in week one if you want to win. You do it for the money, you do it for the TV contract, but you will not get out of there with a W. Roll effing Tide.
Well
Alabama's going to
done.
win this game by, let's say 17 points is my pick.
Yo.
Let it ride. All right, let's stop that.
I said songs.
Okay. That's all I have on that game. Anyone want to add to that game before we move on?
I think you said it all.
I like Florida State a lot too. I think they're going to be a two-loss team, but they're going to get one of those losses right away, and they're going to
Yep.
lose heavy, and they'll bounce back and they'll do well in the ACC.
They're about to
So,
get some.
semi-big games of the week. BYU versus LSU. Ed Orgeron's season debut, LSU minus 16.5, over under 46.5, Saturday, 9:30 p.m. The game was originally in Houston, now has been moved to the Superdome. We just want to, of course, say how bad we feel for everyone in Houston and to the Houston Cougars, who had to cancel their game as well. I think everybody should read one of our all-time favorite college football players and now coach, Major Applewhite. He released a statement about the flooding, about canceling their game, that is really great. And anybody who likes college football or just likes, you know, well-written, powerful statements should read that. It's one of the best things I've ever heard by a coach. Really puts things in perspective. But moving along to the game, BYU somehow is already 1-0 after beating Portland State. I don't know, college football, I don't know what you're doing, but please don't do these games where, like, two teams nobody cares about plays. It's going to dilute the product. Don't be like the NFL and water down what you have. Anyway, anyone have thoughts on 16-year starter Taylor Mangum, or Tanner Mangum? What's his name?
I think he's only a sophomore somehow.
Born in 93, but he's a junior.
He's a junior. Don't worry about that.
Born in 93.
He's got 26 more games to start, minimum.
Well, he waited 7 years behind Taysom Hill, and now it's finally his time to shine.
Yep, pretty much. 16 points is a lot for Eddie O. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with him. So I would stay away from laying the points with LSU early. I think this whole game's a stay away. 16's pretty damn right on. You could be in trouble with the back door for sure.
Yep. Back door's wide open. Stay away.
Yeah.
All right. West Virginia versus Virginia Tech, number 21 versus number 22. VaTech, -4, over under 51.5. This is a Sunday night game, 7:30, so that's a nice... Now that Game of Thrones is gone, that's a nice little thing to have on a Sunday night. Dan?
Yeah, okay. However, Kirby Enthusiasm's coming back, so we'll be
preoccupied. But you got a few weeks.
October 1st. Whoever
planned for Game of Thrones to end and then college football to start the next weekend, I know that probably wasn't coordinated, but you've done very well. Nice work, TV.
Yeah, way to do that. West Virginia last year, I believe, was 5-0 in games decided by 3 points or less or something like that. They were a slight overachieving team. Third total wild card this year. Is that Florida transfer going to play at quarterback? I don't know. We'll find out.
Most likely.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Over-under is only 52. That seems too low for Mr. Holgorsen to be involved in offense and defense as a head coach. So I like the over there.
Ryan?
Love it, Dan. Love it. Completely agree. I think between Holgorsen and Fuente really wants to speed that team up and bring them into the 21st century. So I think the over is maybe, besides Alabama, might be the strongest play of the weekend.
All right. I like it. Let's keep moving along because we have a few games to get to, and then we've got our segment we teased earlier that I think everyone's going to like. So yeah. Texas A&M at UCLA, UCLA -3.5, over under 56.5, another Sunday night game, 7:30 Eastern. Guys, is Kevin Sumlin on the hot seat?
He should be at this point. I mean, he had a nice run there with Johnny Football, but they haven't made the next step. They've gotten worse. This game's a coin flip. I'll take the home dog in 4 points.
Ryan?
Yeah, this is a tough one. If you guys remember last year, they did open against each other, and A&M tried like hell to blow that game and then pulled it out at the end. Rosen got sacked about 44 times, I think, in that game.
37 by Miles Garrett. Yeah.
Correct. This is definitely a revenge game, and I like that UCLA is getting some points at home.
All right. Tennessee versus Georgia Tech. Tennessee -3, over under 56, Monday, 8 p.m. Another coach maybe on the hot seat. Butch Jones finished the season last season kind of strong, but he had a stretch where he did not perform well. So what kind of patience do you think Tennessee fans have with him?
They should have none. He's a bum.
The worst.
Going to be Georgia Tech all day. All day.
I believe Georgia Tech's number one offensive player just got suspended. That's the only problem. That being said, Tennessee has a new quarterback and a shitty coach going on the road. I'm going to take an under here, under 56.
I don't like anything about this game, and I will stay away.
Okay.
We're going hard this year.
We are. You know what? You're right. That goes against the motto of the 2017 motto of take the points, go hard. I'm picking Tennessee.
There you go.
I think Tennessee will get off to their traditional hot start before letting everybody down as per usual.
That's really good logic. I like that.
All right. Other games, I'm going to roll through these. I know there are a few you guys want to expand on. Otherwise, I'll just go quickly and you stop me if there's anything you want to add. Buffalo at Minnesota, Minnesota 24.5. This is the debut of PJ Fleck. I would say stay away from that. You never know with a debut. Tulsa at Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State minus 18.5. I know you got thoughts on this one, Dan.
Oklahoma State's offense is ready to roll. It's home in Oklahoma. High temperature Saturday, 87 degrees and sunny. By kickoff, it'll be high 70s. This total is only in the 60s. It's 69 over all day. This game is in the 100s, son.
Is this a hook?
This should be a hook as well. Yeah, but really like the over, but I will hook it as well.
Okay, so bet the over if you're feeling very adventurous, which is the theme of the year. Hook it with the 18.5 line. Go
hook
big. Ohio State minus 21.5 at Indiana. I'll take this one. Indiana is going to be much improved this year. They play in a tough division, so their record might not reflect it. But in a debut game, I would be careful with this one. I'm not saying pick Indiana, but don't assume that Ohio State will just roll over them in the first week. Washington minus 25.5 at Rutgers. Rutgers fucking sucks. So I might lay that, but do you want to warn me off of that, Dan?
That line's actually 31 now. It was 26 last year when it was Rutgers at Washington. Or sorry, the other way around. Now it's at Washington, so they bumped up to 31. Yeah, until we see Rutgers do anything positive with the actual football, we have to stay away from them. They were the worst team we've ever seen last year. So, Washington, lay it.
Their performance last year against Michigan was the worst performance I've ever seen by a Power 5 team in my life.
Yep.
So, Rutgers fans, nowhere to go but up. All right, Dan. The Naval Academy is a 9-point favorite over Florida Atlantic, and take the points as favorite coach, Mr. Lane Kiffin, with, what's his name, Kendall Briles at offensive coordinator. This is a team that could be pretty good. I like it. Take the points.
With the quarterback who got kicked off the team at Florida State as well.
Yes, it's the All-American rejects.
Yeah, so you're telling me that you're getting 9 points with this squad with Kendall Briles? If they're down 23 in the fourth quarter, you're still alive. Give me Lane in the 9 all day, every day.
I think this may be another hook opportunity. I think take the 9, and this is a team where Navy can also score a lot of points. So if anything, you might want to bet the over as well.
Okay.
Keep rolling. Colorado State versus Colorado on a neutral field, 4.5 points. Anybody believe in Colorado or want to bet this one?
No, this one's tough. Colorado State just waxed Oregon State, who's terrible. But this is always a weird game, rivalry game. Whoever wins this game usually turns out to be a pretty good story for the year. So it should be a pretty good marker. Whoever wins this game maybe will wager on for the next couple weeks and keep track.
Utah State at Wisconsin, minus 27.5. I would stay away from that one. Bowling Green at Michigan State. What? Go ahead.
Sorry, real quick. I was going to say Utah State has a history of being a sneaky, sneaky team against big power teams. I believe they were the team that almost beat Auburn, was it, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, like, but everything you're referencing was in the 12-year run of Chucky Keaton, who is no longer the quarterback there. Much like Taysom Hill at the aforementioned BYU. He left after a decade. So,
it's true. He still could be there under a different name, but continue.
So I'd stay away from that one personally. Bowling Green at Michigan State. Bowling Green lost a lot, but as Spillett said, you can't trust Michigan State after last season's performance. Do not lay that. Kent State at Clemson, -39.5. I say too high. What do you guys think?
Yeah, stay away. Stay away.
I feel the same way about Akron at Penn State. Penn State should beat them handily, but 31 points is it's too much to lay in a week one game.
Too many.
Maryland at Texas is an interesting one. Texas is 18.5 points favorite. If Texas plays as well as we think they're going to with Herman, this might be a good bet.
Totally agree with you, Tom. I think this is a really good bet. I think Texas wins pretty handily in this game, something like maybe 48-17 or something.
Okay. And, you know, it's a home game, and they'll be playing for, you know, Texas pride for the state, which has gone through so much. So I like that one a lot. Lay it with Texas. South Carolina versus North Carolina State. Neutral field, NC State -5. Anybody want to talk about Will Muschamp? This is your chance for this season. I'm sure we'll get to him plenty later in the year.
I just threw up in my mouth.
It's the SEC, but I can't do it.
This doesn't come through in podcast form, but the faces Dan and Ryan were just making when I mentioned Will Muschamp.
Disgusted. It's like we found old food in the back of the refrigerator. Just shaking the head sideways, disgusted with yourself that it's still around. Very similar.
You know what I thought of? This is another Game of Thrones thing, but I always go into each season forgetting like what happened the previous years, and like I saw the character Littlefinger. I'm like, oh, right, that guy's still around. That's what I feel about Will Muschamp. It's like, oh, I forgot what happened in the previous season of college football. Oh, Will Muschamp's still around? Oh, I thought he died like 3 years ago. Anyway, don't bet on Will Muschamp?
No.
Okay. Nevada at Northwestern, -24.5. Dan, I was doing some reading. The sharps like this one. Northwestern only averaged, I think, 26.5 points last year. And these are two defensive-minded teams. So a lot of the sharps in Vegas don't think that Northwestern can cover a 24-point spread.
I think there's some sort of Colin Kaepernick angle here, but I can't quite put my finger on it, so I'm probably going to pass.
I like their logic. I'm not familiar enough with these two teams yet to make a decision, but if you're going to bet, the smart money, I guess, is on Nevada for that game. UTEP at Oklahoma, -43.5. Again, too many points for a week one game, in my opinion. Temple at Notre Dame, -18.5. Dan, you seem high on Notre Dame. What do you think?
I'll lay it with Notre Dame. Temple's got a new coach. Notre Dame's got a fresh slate trying to erase last year's mess of a team, and they played a game in like a monsoon. It was just a bad year, so I like Notre Dame to whip them pretty good.
Troy at Boise State, 10.5 point line. Ryan?
I love Boise. That's not nearly enough points. I know Troy is pretty good. They give some teams some trouble, but those are teams that are south of the Mason-Dixon line. Getting up into Boise, not good. I think Boise wins by 20.
Dan, any thoughts on that one?
Seems a little low. Agree.
Okay. Western Michigan at USC. USC -27. Western Michigan, no more PJ Fleck. They lost Corey Davis. So I don't know what they're bringing to the table. They could be okay. I just don't know. I think 27 is potentially an amount of points you could lay with a team that should be a top four team.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about it, but if I'm picking a side in that, I'm going USC. Oh,
yeah.
Here's one I love.
I feel like that game is going to be like about, like, I don't know, 55-10. I kind of like USC in that one.
Right. Yeah, that's my feeling too. USC, you know what they're bringing to the table, so you don't know what Western Michigan will give you. I think the worst case is Western Michigan's offense is still clicking and it ends, you know, something like 45-20 and you just lose on that backdoor cover. But I would take it. Appalachian State at Georgia, 14.5. Be careful, folks.
Yes,
are we issuing a warning or are we straight out taking Appalachian State?
Why do teams schedule them week one? They're a pain in the fucking ass. They always play someone tough and then they like roast the rest of their conference or whatever league, whatever division, and then like there's no upside. Either you blow them out and they go, well, you should, or else you play them close or lose and you're like, you're pathetic. So horrible job by you, Rick. I know you're responsible for that scheduling still, even though you're not there. So that's what you get.
I don't think Georgia's going to lose this game, but if I was a Georgia fan, I would not feel good about this. I think we're
No.
looking at a 7-point game.
Hey.
Louisville, -24.5
Well,
against Purdue on a neutral field. Purdue is supposed to be much improved. I'll believe that when I see it. Ryan, you seem to be particularly high on Louisville out of all of us.
I mean, we saw what they did in the beginning of the season last year, right? Louisville, like, come on. They're going to be ready. They're going to be fired up. Lamar Jackson won a Heisman, and no one's even putting him close to the top five of the Heisman this year. As much as I don't like Petrino, the guy can coach, and I think they win this game by 40.
Okay. South Alabama at Ole Miss, -23.5. This is another game I was reading up on, and the Sharps really like South Alabama. Obviously, Hugh Freeze has been dismissed from the team. Ole Miss has lost so many players, either through graduation or the NFL or delinquency trouble. And South Alabama's got a okay team. A lot of people seem to like this. Again, I don't have a ton of personal thoughts, but if you're just going with the smart people who make a living doing this, South Alabama's one of their top picks of the week.
Very possible. Ole Miss is in shambles, so yeah.
Don't bet on Ole Miss until
No.
further notice.
No.
Probably all season, but potentially many seasons from now. They're on our do not fly list. Georgia Southern at Auburn, 34 points.
That's about right.
Arkansas State at Nebraska, 15.5. I think that
I like
sounds
that.
about right.
Yep.
Nebraska's got a quarterback coming in that a lot of people are big on. He's not coming in. I mean, he's been there, but people think that he's going to be a good fit there. And a lot of people think that they might even compete with Wisconsin. I think that might be a year soon. But we'll see. Don't take Nebraska lightly this year. Okay, and our last game. Dan, I turn this over to you. New Mexico State at your hometown team, Arizona State.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got a couple thoughts. New Mexico State's played Arizona State once ever in team history. It was in the 90s when Arizona State was ranked, I believe, 19th or 27-point favorite. Lost outright. That's my first piece of evidence. My second piece of evidence I'd like to submit to the internet is, that last year, Arizona, just a few miles south in Tucson, almost lost to Grambling. That's my second piece. Third piece is that Todd Graham's a horrible coach. And four, it just makes sense that New Mexico State would play him close. I really like the 22 points, 22 and a half, and therefore New Mexico State is my trap of the week to start off a college football season. Do not sleep. Easy, Arizona State fans. This is not a piece of cake win. Your team is absolute trash. Your defense has been bad. The offense is sloppy. It's like 5 billion degrees out here right now. And the only team who could possibly come in here and actually play and not be hot is probably New Mexico State. So, not good. That's another factoid, too. Anyway, New Mexico State, trap the week 22 and a half. Have some fun with that one.
So, what kind of outlook are we looking at for your two Arizona teams when the year is out? Fired coaches?
University of Arizona is winning four games max, and Rich Rod's getting canned. Todd Graham is gonna go 6-5 and get invited to a December 21st bowl game, and due to the Cardinals probably sneaking in the wild card, no one will pay attention, and he won't be fired. That's my prediction.
He'll get to like the Bitcoin Bowl or the oh God, I can't remember, but the former St. Petersburg Bowl. It's got the greatest name ever. Now it's called, what is it called? Like the Bad Boy Tractor Bowl.
Yes, correct.
I think we'll see Todd Graham in the Bad Boy, or it's like the Bad Boy Riding Mower Bowl.
They're an absolute mess of a team, so I would love to see New Mexico State win. Looking forward to that one.
So the only two teams we haven't talked about are our other two hometown teams, my current hometown and Dan's alma mater of UConn. I don't even know who they play this week. They play like DeVry University. And then, so we'll have plenty to say about UConn going forward, but the return of Randy Edsall, it begins.
It's exciting.
It's exciting times here in East Hartford, Connecticut.
You hear it in my voice, the excitement.
And then our hometown team where we all grow up. Ryan, anything you want to say about the Syracuse Orange?
I'm going to say that they have signed a 3-star running back from out here in Arizona. And for 2018, I will go watch him play and I will report back to the fans. But as far as Dino Babers, I think they win 4 games.
I've heard that Orange is the new fast, which is their actual slogan and not something they just made
better
up.
It's better than when they had billboards around town for the Orange Empire Strikes Back. That was worse.
Built on tradition.
The only SU advertising campaign was when Marvin Graves encouraged people to wear bicycle helmets.
I don't know. GMAC can sell the shit out of a Kia. Watch out.
Well, that's basketball. They're in a different stratosphere in Syracuse.
Similar.
Doesn't count. All right. I'm very excited. That's the end of the lines. As we go through the rest of the season and we have more information and we're not trying to do a season preview, we'll spend a little more time with the lines and get more in depth. So, join us next week for that. But we have to, before we go, introduce a new segment that I am very excited about, and I'm going to hand it over to Dan Partridge, who's going to tell us about this new segment.
Okay, listeners, we have a new segment. This one is based off of a conversation a couple of us had in the off season of, like, over the past 25 years, pretty much in the BCS era. We're going to go a little bit earlier than that. But we're trying to figure out who the best college football team is over the past 25 years or so. Obviously, we can look at, national champions, and that's kind of how we're going to do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our top 16 teams, so we're going to place them into brackets, two sides, 1 through 8 on each. And each week we're going to kind of talk about a matchup and we'll advance the teams through. And if we did our math right, I believe we have enough weeks in the college football season to get to a national title. But moral of the story is we'll come up with a hypothetical spread between these two teams, talk about strengths and weaknesses, what could have happened, all kinds of possibilities. It's really fun. I guess without much further ado, we will begin. This week with the University of Texas in 2005 with Vincent Young at quarterback. They're going to be a 3 seed facing off against a 6 seed that's going to be the national champions from last year, the 2016 Clemson Tigers with Deshaun Watson and company. So, boys, right off the bat, before we get into X's and O's, we need a number. I'm going to send it to you, Ryan. Give me a spread on this game.
Oh, I got a number.
Okay. All I need is a spread. We're not looking for detail. Just give me your off the top of your head, spread and total, both.
Okay. We got VY -9, and we got that over-under at 72.
Okay.
Okay. I had a different take on it. So I've got the spread at 6, and I've got the over under of this game at I'm going to say 78, but potentially even up to 80. I mean, I think this is an absolute shootout. So I'm going to say 78 over under.
Six. That's pretty good. All right. I'm gonna just add a little hook onto it. I'm gonna say Texas minus just a half point over a touchdown, 7.5. I think if you make it a touchdown, everybody takes Texas. I think you make it 7.5, they all take Clemson. Not all, but some. So I'm gonna say 7.5 for the spread. In total, I'm gonna say national total game is a little lower. I'm gonna say 68.5. So we all kind of have a consensus that Texas is the superior team. Why are you thinking this way, initially? Why are you, or how did you come up with this number, Tom?
So, I'm coming up with it on the spot here, but I think I feel pretty good about this. They are similar styled teams. Both are driven by a superior athlete at quarterback who really defined the team and sort of carried the team on their shoulders, especially in their national championship game. I mean, the reason we picked these two, I think. Aside from one where we all had consensus and agreed on who we thought would win, they both ended in similar fashions. The way they won the title was similar, so it was a two good ones to put together in week one and show people the kind of thing we're talking about. It's really tough. Vince Young, I think, as a college player, was superior to Deshaun Watson. Texas overall had a little bit more talent. Texas was undefeated that season, whereas Clemson had the one loss, and Clemson actually was pretty close to losing another game. I mean, there's a good chance they almost didn't even make the playoff, even though they had immense talent. I think that you could argue the USC team that they beat was more talent-laden than last year's Alabama and had Heisman winner Matt Leinart at quarterback instead of freshman Jalen Hurts, who's also good. You're really talking about great teams, so it's hard to compare. But Texas was just a little bit better in every area, including, the man of the team, Vince Young. In that season, I put just a little bit above Watson in this season. So I feel like around a touchdown is good. And they're just
Okay.
so memorable. I think part of it is the passage of time. That's just such a memorable team. They've been on ESPN Classic so much that I think that's going to skew the betting and the line toward Vince Young.
All right, Ryan, what do you think?
Vince Young was the most unstoppable college player I've ever seen. And Earl Thomas is probably the most valuable player in the NFL on defense, and maybe the most valuable player not playing quarterback in the entire NFL. So I think when you combine those two, that's how I came up with nine.
Okay, it's pretty good. A few things about this. Yes, we've talked about Vince Young. We're gonna talk about a couple other players on that Texas team. Keep in mind their defense was led by Brian Arakpo and Michael Huff, both absolute studs. Offense had Lima Swede, who wasn't so good, but also had Jordan Shipley at wide receiver, who was a real pain in the ass and always open. If you look up how they kind of match up against the Clemson defense is more, defensive line based. More than anything else, I think VY could have exploited that with the option, not just handing it off and running straight up into it. Plus the pass rush, I don't think would have got there either, him being so mobile. Offensively, yes, Clemson would have scored points on Texas, but Texas was really playing at an insanely high level at the end of that year. One thing people don't remember is that Pac-12, or sorry, that Big 12 title game when they still had one, they played Colorado and beat them by 67 points in that game. In a conference title game after Thanksgiving. That's crazy. Then they beat USC, which is one of the most loaded teams in our life, which we will for sure talk about going forward. So therefore, Texas, a little over a touchdown. I say 7.5. Ryan says more. Tom says a little less. And Clemson was a very good team, and if you take Clemson, you definitely have a chance of covering with a backdoor for sure against Texas. Their defense wasn't super elite, but good enough to get the job done. But just kind of researching this a little bit, looking at some of the scores Texas put up with Vince Young. I mean, they scored 52 points, 47, 62, 66, 70, 41. I mean, every single week was six touchdowns plus with ease. And he was pulled a lot in the third quarter. So VY Texas moving on, our first team into the Elite Eight of football, which we will not call Elite Eight. We'll come up with a different term for next week, and the full bracket, which we will announce. But we will tell you that Texas will move on to one of the last eight teams in our last lifetime / 25-year poll. So that was kind of fun talking about that. It's going to get really good as we go forward and get this narrowed down. It's going to get really close when we come up with spreads that are like under, you know, 2 points. We threw around a couple hypotheticals and came up with a lot of 1.5s, actually, me and Ryan did the other day. So look out for this. It's going to be a fun segment. I think we're going to have an idea of who the best team is, consensus-wise. So looking forward to this a lot. Who do you guys think is going to be the best, just quickly?
Oh, come on. You can't spoil that.
I know, I'm kidding. Moving on.
You're going to have to wait, listeners. So we're going to do this throughout the season, and we're going to see what we end up with. But, yeah, as you can hear, we're kind of just giving this as the first example. But we'll be back next week. We're recording on Tuesday next week. Podcast should be out Wednesday, and we will announce the full bracket. Maybe we'll just post a picture of a full bracket on the website, and people can look at the matchups and think about what they would do, and then we'll go through and pick one game each week. So I'm excited. Track of the week. Dan, what do you got? What's the next track after Sweet Home Alabama to go on the Take the Points playlist?
Ooh. All right. Well, let's see here. It is summertime. It's hot, especially here in Phoenix. So I'm going to give you a song by a band called Poolside. It's called Hot in the Shade. We'll add that to be our first track after Alabama, because we start the season here while it's still pretty hot out. So Poolside, Hot in the Shade. I'll also give you one more, a bonus one for today. I'll give you 'Cause I'm a Man by Tame Impala. So we'll start off with those two.
All right.
I'm 40 for Mike Gundy.
There you go. For your future playoff coach, Mike Gundy.
I'm a man, I'm 40. Tame Impala also said it.
All right, so this is a long episode because it's the season preview, but if anybody has any parting shots before we go on any topic, football or otherwise.
Nope. Enjoy the season. It's going to be great. College football is so, so good. I honestly think that college football is one of the few sports that improves every single year. These kids are coming in way more mature. And the level of play is just light years ahead of what we saw when I was younger. I mean, teams aren't just handing it off and running up the middle and trying to win, you know, low-scoring games anymore. It's complex. It spreads. It's adjusting on the fly for defense. You got kids coming in at 17 who, like, are just massive and cut them and weightlifting for 10 years to look like they're already in the NFL. And it really is a new era, and it's so perfect because – it's the same rules as always. These kids got to stay at least 3 years before they go pro. So amazing. Just perfect sport in every single way. Hats off to college football. Can't wait.
Also, thanks to all of the camps and the new emphasis on high school football. And high school football has gotten better, and they're training the kids on the techniques better. They come in ready to play as freshmen, as you mentioned. And one of the nice things about that, I was looking at this season. A lot of guys went to the NFL, but there are so many guys we know from the last couple of years coming back. I feel like when we were younger, it was mostly seniors and juniors played, and then they turned over, and then the new guys played. You know, at Penn State, they joked you had to be like a junior or senior before Paterno would even consider putting you in at QB.
Yeah, that's all over.
Now Trace McSorley comes in as a freshman and is starting. It's like one nice thing is you can follow these same guys for 3 years, which in college football – seems like a pretty long time. I mean, JT Barrett, who's actually been there 4 years now, seems like he's been there forever. So it's making the sport much nicer to follow. It's very good. So enjoy this fall. There's a lot of good stuff to watch. Some housekeeping items before we leave. You can listen to Take the Points at takethepoints.net. You can subscribe on iTunes, which is great. You can subscribe or listen on Stitcher. Any of those is great. Just search for Take the Points College Football Podcast. For now, we are off social media. I am not doing the take the points Twitter. You can follow Dan, Ryan, or I personally on Twitter, but we're not going to do the podcast Twitter anymore. No podcast Facebook. We're going dark. Smoke signals only.
Mm-hmm. Hot picks only.
So, yeah, that's it. Listen to the show, and I hope you enjoy. And feel free to write to us personally on Twitter if you have questions or topics you want us to address. Otherwise, next week the show will be out on Wednesday, probably. So subscribe, and we'll see you then. Goodbye, everybody. Take the point.